Okay, shalom aleichem, aboisai. We are in Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva, Shal Beis. Ice tests. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about the second stimulant, if you will, the second prompt that Hashem provides us with to make the changes we need to make in our life, to create the focus that we need to have in our life. Or to put it in simpler terms, tshuva, as a person ages, these are signals to realize that we're only here for a short stint, and you don't want to forget where you want to be, what the goal is, ultimately. Now, he's going on a tangent about, first, about the those who don't see any need for change, which, as we discussed, is generally because it becomes desensitized to the whole concept of spirituality, because the conscientious are constantly focusing on the areas that they need to continue growing. Now, last time we got into the discussion of how do you do this without anxiety, and we discussed that the idea is, yes, Hashem wants you to be working hard, working conscientiously, but with the understanding that you have your goals, work one step at a time, conscientiously, hustling along, but with the understanding that Hashem does not expect you to conquer it all at once. You work, but you can do that in a serene way that will enable you to sustain it in a long-term kind of way, in a way that will be emotionally healthy and allow you to live serenely. Eved Hashem doesn't have to be a person who is uptight, to be serene, tranquil, but moving along. Now, okay. We're gonna move. We'll move a bit on. Rabbi Yehuda elaborates on this, but I want to move on to the next, to prompt number three. And that's an Ois Yud. But what's the point? The point is, again, that as we feel ourselves moving ahead in life, those different things that change used to not be that way, right? It says that before Yaakov Avinu, people weren't hit with Zikna. It's there to remind us. It's a certain signal. Hashem is saying, I don't want you to squander the opportunity called life. What's prompt number three? Kasha Yishma Musa Chachamim Bamechich. When a person hears words of Musa, words of inspiration, words of exhortation toward growth, toward improvement, Yakshivi Yishma. So listen carefully. The Yikona, the Yachzor B'Tshuva. And humble yourself and be ready to say yes. This is relevant to me, and to take those steps toward tshuva. Yikabel b'livoi kol divrei ha-techochos, and accept conscientiously whatever admonition you'll be hearing, v'shelo yigram midivreihem, and don't let their words pass you by. You want to be with an attitude of, yes, I want to hear. I don't want to be resisting it. People prefer to be comfortable. Right, they don't want to go to a shul to hear a rav who will chalila suggest that perhaps there can be improvements made in their life. They'd rather have a rav who makes them feel comfortable, makes them feel good about themselves, complacent, and that's all. But if a person really wants to make the most out of life, he should be seeking to hear. You know the story, the classic story about Aryeh Levine. Rabbi Levine, this great Avas Yisrael, He was once heard about a certain man who acted very, very abusive toward his wife, very disrespectful, very demeaning, really didn't treat his wife nicely. Rabbi Aryeh wanted to get rid of this person in a way that would be without shaming him. So what did he do? He arranged that he would give the drasha on Shabbos in the shul where this person davened. And came to give this drasha. This person didn't even know that he was aware of it. So there was no chashash, there was no concern that the person would take it personally. But the message would be gotten across. So Rabbi Aryeh came to give his drasha in this shul. Gave a drasha in a very warm, inspiring fashion, Rabbi Aryeh Levine style. Who else was davening in that shul? Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer, the Gedolei Hador, was davening in that shul. Rabbi Yisrael Zalman Meltzer lived what Rabbi Yehuda was saying here. If you hear any admonition, you hear any words of chastising, right? You should, yes, take it personally. Take it, this is very relevant to me. And Rabbi Yisrael Zalman is listening intensely to the drasha. He came over to Rabbi Aryeh Levine afterwards and he said, Rabbi Aryeh, I got the message. I know that you meant me. I know that there are things I need to improve. This was a man with princely midas. But he came over to Rabbi Aryeh and said, I know you meant me. I know that this is what needs to be improved. And I got the message. You can rest assured. Your words weren't wasted. Rabbi Aryeh was mortified. I'm telling him, Chalila, I didn't even think you were going to be in the crowd. But Rabbi Yisrael Zalman said, no, it's fine. I needed to hear this, and it's good that I did. Rabbi Aryeh was beside himself, but there was nothing to do. Okay, so this is the attitude. This is the mindset that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about here. Okay. Now, v'hinei ha'ish hazeh berega koton yotza me'afela la'or gadol. Now, here Rabbi Yehuda lays down a very, very fundamental principle. And this is actually what we were discussing the other day. Let's hear Rabbi Yehuda put it down. He says, if a person is on the wrong track, or not on the right track, right? Living his life kind of just rolling along, whether he's really doing things wrong, or whether he's just not really on the track of growth, not really on the track of trying to get things to perfect himself, trying to reach shleimus. And he comes, he hears a drasha that suddenly shows him the light. Suddenly makes him realize that there's a lot of change that is necessary. And he decides, okay, I want to make this change. So he says, in that moment, this person has gone out from the darkness to a great light. Meaning as follows. But where he's coming from is the question he asked the other day. He didn't get to a great light yet. He might see the great light in the distance, right? So much to tackle now. If I really want to get my life onto the right track. But he says, Kiesa Shayazin Biaskis, when he's listening to these words of admonition, Ulavava Yovin, he really internalizes. Meshav the Kabo Biyam Shomay Divra Amrichiach. And he makes that switch in mindset as he hears the words of the person speaking. And he decides, okay. I need guidance in my life. I need instruction in my life. I'm going to dedicate my life now to a new path. I'm going to be open to hear. I'm going to connect myself with people that I can hear from, that I can be instructed by. I'm going to be receptive. I'm going to follow what they say. And now he's committed to a life of, I'm going to hear and fulfill. Also, be other tshuva. He says, that's it. He's hit the goal. He has successfully done tshuva. What do you mean successfully done tshuva? Now he's ready to start. He says, v'netach v'isha acher. That's it. In Shemayim, he's already a different man. From the moment that he accepted this in his mind, and he's made this resolution in his mind, so, he has now earned the merit and the reward for all the mitzvahs and musar, growth, etc., that now lies in the track that he's beginning the track. Everything that's along that path, he already has the skus for. He already has the schar for. And fortunate is this man who has completely cleansed his soul in one moment. Why? Because once he's committing to get onto that track, so he's already credited with everything that that track entails. This is what Chazal meant when they said, after the Bnei Yisrael heard Moshe's instruction about the Korban Pesach, it says that they went off and they did it. Right, when Moshe first gave the instructions about the Korban Pesach, they went off and they did it. So Chazal adds, when did Moshe give those instructions? It was back at the beginning of the month, right? Did they do it right away? They only went and performed it the 14th of the month. But the answer is that no. Once they committed to fulfill it, once they committed to do it, once they were committed, so the Torah credits them as though they did it right away. This is what we said the other day. In Avos Rabbi Nosson, it says, right, we said the other day, if a person is fulfilling more than he knows, chachmasim is kayemis, then his chachma has a kiyum. His chachma will be lasting. Shenema nasa v'nishma. And they learn it from this pasuk of nasa v'nishma. And he elaborates, as we elaborated the other day. And he says that this person, yes, is credited with the whole path that now lays in front of him, even though he's at the starting point. Now, skipping a little bit where he elaborates on this point again, he says, now what happens if the person goes back to sleep the next day and then forgets about it? Say, no. If Itaki continues on that path, this is the point we made. He is conscientiously walking along that path from this point until the end of his life. So then, he's credited for the whole path, even if he didn't actually get there. Right? But if this now, Itaka made that change, and he's applying himself to, that way, he gets that credit. Now, I dare say, this is just my cheshbon. A person comes away from something like that inspired. He's not going to live it 100%, right? He's going to have ups and downs. But chayru, we can allow ourselves to say that he's applying himself. Again, where Milinowitz would put it was, you try your best to try your best. Right? That's the idea. To be trying your best, to be trying your best. You can't be trying your best all the time, nonstop, either. Right? But if the person, the way it plays out afterwards is that it was a very momentary inspiration, but then he goes right back to square one. So then he gets a certain schar for that momentary inspiration with something. But if afterwards, let's say, he continues along that path at a level of 80%, I would dare say that the cheshbon will be. He'll be credited for 80% of that, what that path is, meaning the extent to which he applies himself now, he'll get the schar for that. But again, it's that same powerful point that you're on the path, you're going to get the schar for the entire path. As long as you are beating that path conscientiously, you get the schar for the entire path. Okay. So therefore, he continues and says, if Taka, after that, he continues on a path of every day seeking out, right? Now he adheres to those who are going to admonish him. And he wants to stick to those who are going to teach him. This is the man we're referring to when we say that he is fulfilling more than he knows. Why? Because he actually still doesn't even know it. Might be things that he doesn't know, hasn't gotten to yet. But he's already rewarded for them. And this is the etzem, like Chazal said before. We said before, Naseh v'nishma. When we said Naseh v'nishma, they're committing to do even before they heard, which means that it's actually playing out that way. They are doing before they heard. That's the path that they're going on. Meaning what? They're on a path that's committed to learning, hearing, being open, being receptive, and therefore they're already credited with that whole path. Okay. Now, here again, we'll move on to the next prompt. I want to keep moving here now, even though we're skipping a couple of paragraphs. What's prompt number four? Prompt number four is Ve'ez ha'shel yegei ha'odem eteras Hashem Ve'yikra b'divrei ha'nevi'im v'ha'ksuvim. This is another wake-up call when you're actually learning things that are conveying that call directly. Learn it with a conscientious eye, wanting to be affected by the lessons of the Navi, by the admonitions of the Torah. The Yavin bin Noyam ha'musarim, and he understands the beauty of the Musar. The Yireh ha'azhoreis v'anoshim, and he sees the admonitions and the punishments that come. Yecherad la'dvarim, and he takes it very much to heart, trembles. The Yochim libo le'hetiv drachim, we have to understand, this is a people, you know, you hear so much, you know, where study of Tanakh turns into like these weird modern psychoanalyses of the people involved. He's telling us what the purpose of learning Tanakh here is. The purpose of learning Tanakh is not for you to cluck your tongue at how bad they were back then and to think, look how much better we are than them. The purpose of learning Tanakh is for you to get a certain chill when you understand the admonitions. If you can come away from Tanakh connecting to the admonitions in a personal way and saying, wow, these are standards that place a demand on me, that has to be understood. You have to learn in the right way in order to understand how admonitions about Avodah Zarah are placing a demand on you. None of us are guilty of Avodah Zarah. But he's telling us that the purpose of learning Tanakh is in order to really absorb the lessons, the calls, the admonitions, and to make changes as a result, to understand the levels, the standards that are being expected. Okay, mid-sentence, but we'll stop here as usual.
Yashkoch, Rabbi. Erev Tov.